Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. There once was a woman who had two daughters, and one of the daughters said to the woman, "Mother, give me all of Grandma's jewelry and sell the lake cabin and give me half. And then, while you're at it, empty your bank account and give me part half of that also." And the mother did as she was asked. And so the youngest child, went to the far country of Idaho and settled in Boise. And there she squandered her inheritance with dissolute living, as they only can in Boise. After a time, she spent everything she had been given. And she scrambled around trying to figure out how she was going to make a living in the wilds of Idaho. And so she got connected through her drug-taking and clubbing days with a couple of people who dealt in drugs. And so she herself began to sell drugs, and she thought this would be her ticket to freedom and to riches. But instead, she always found that she was at the bottom of the pile. She always found that she never had quite enough. Soon she was living on the street. She had hit bottom. One day she came to her senses and she said, "You know, the woman who works in my mother's garden has a better life than I do. I should go home to Vancouver and say, 'Mother, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Please forgive me and let me work in your garden and pay me a little bit of money.'" So she traveled home. But before she had even taken a right on 68th, her mother looked down the hill and saw her. And she ran out and greeted her with compassion and love and said, "Oh, my daughter, you are home." And then she said to her friends who were having lunch with her that day, "Go inside and get my warmest coat. And remember that one beautiful ring I have left from when I sold mother's jewelry? Bring that too, and we'll give it to my daughter." Well, the eldest daughter was in the basement, alphabetizing all the goods she had canned from the garden she had grown. It took her a while. And so when she came up, it was like the party was already going on. And so she said to one of her mother's friends, "What is going on around here?" And her mother said, "Your sister has come back and we're celebrating." So she took her mother quietly into the next room and quietly slammed the door and said, "Mother, what's going on? I've been working so hard all this time. And instead, you reward this daughter of yours, not even my sister, with a party." Her mother said, "Oh, my dear, you were always with me. And I got to show my love for you every day. But this daughter of mine, this sister of yours, was lost, and now she's found. She was dead, but she's alive. So we have to celebrate." Now, depending on your social location or your birth order, you may just identify strongly with one or more members of this story. You may identify more strongly with the youngest, You may identify more strongly with the eldest, or you may identify more strongly with the mother. There are other characters in this story as well, or the father. You could be the mother or the father. There are other characters in this story as well, but let's not identify with them right now. Right now, we're just going to say eldest or youngest or mother or father. Got it in your mind which one you identify with most? Okay, so look at the person or persons sitting next to you or just behind you and tell them why you identify most with this, which one you identify with, and why it is good that you identify with this one. Why is it good to be the eldest? Why is it good to be the oldest? Why is it good to be the mother or father? Okay? So just turn to the person sitting next to you and tell which one and why it is good to be that one. Okay, how you doing? Oh, you could talk about this for a long time. How many here identify most with the youngest person in this story? Raise your hand if you identify most with the youngest person in this story. How many here identify most with the oldest person in this story? How many here identify most with the father or the mother? Kind of about even between oldest and father-mother, I would say. A fewer youngest in this particular crowd. I'm not sure what that says about us, but I was supposed to draw some amazing conclusion now, I know, but I have none. Instead, what I want to say is this. A lot of times what happens is we get trapped in the image of who we are. So I'll tell you now that I'm the oldest of three brothers, and I totally identify with the oldest person in this story. And as I was retelling it, I had this idea that I would make it more fair. I was thinking, why don't I say, okay, I could have the mother say, tomorrow we're all going to Al-Anon, but tonight we're just going to celebrate just this once. That is not what it says. The oldest, by the way, is right. She's totally right. He's totally right. But you know what God is telling us? It's better to be loving than to be right. Better to be loving than to be right. And better to see people for who they really are as beloved children of God than for how they have behaved. Oh, that's so hard, friends. So hard. Because we're stuck. I'm stuck. I know that I'm stuck being the oldest. So in any situation, I walk in, and I can tell you what's right and what's wrong. I'm happy to do that for you anytime. And so God's work for me is to remember that it's not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what's loving. So, now I want you to do this very hard thing. You all picked a person in the story that you identify with already. I'd like you to pick another person in the story, okay? So, if you were the youngest, pick the eldest or the parent. If you were the eldest, pick the youngest or the parent. If you were the parent, pick the youngest or the eldest. Got it? Got it in your mind? Can you picture, can you imagine being that part of the story, that part of the story you've never been, that you never thought you could be? Now I want you to turn to the person near you and tell them what's good about being that new thing. What's good about that? What's good about it? Okay. So when I asked you the original one that you identified with and how that was good or bad, or how that was good, I noticed immediately everybody had something to say. When it was time to move to somebody else and take their perspective, I noticed there was a little... Okay? So God gives us that space for breath. Sometimes we say, oh, you have to walk in someone else's shoes, like you just jump in and walk away. But this seeing from another perspective is so difficult. It's so very difficult. And in order to do it, we need some space and some time. So don't beat yourself up if it doesn't come naturally to you. Be gentle with yourself. But in the next week or two, as you gather with your family at church meetings, at fun social events, at your job, I invite you to think, who am I usually, and what would it be like if I were? Who am I usually, and what would it be like if I were? Because here's what I know about God for sure. God does not want us to stay stuck. God wants us to keep moving, keep transforming, keep blossoming. That's why the mandalas, which, by the way, are so beautiful. If you have not had a chance to walk up on the chancel, please do sometime after worship and just take a look at these beautiful mandalas that are being created by members of the church. That's why the mandala is the symbol for Lent for us this year. Because it's a symbol of moving in circles. You know, we always say running in circles like that's a bad thing. But that's what God wants for us, is to create circles, the wholeness and the balance and the beauty of that. I invite you to step this week into another's role. I invite you to this week to see yourself as part of a circle, not stuck in one place. May it be so for each of us. Amen.